Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. Today's story is one I wrote, and I'm sharing it because today my Kickstarter for Salt in the Seas goes live. It's the second book in my epic fantasy series, The Half-Light Chronicles, and it's full of adventures at sea, prophecies, curses, slow burn romance, and the hunt for ancient relics. So I wanted to give you all a taste of my writing so you could know if my epic fantasy series might interest you while the Kickstarter is live. I will warn you that today's short story is a tragedy, but I promise it ends with a thread of hope. In Blood of the Stars, the characters come across a location called Lover's Falls. It's a mysterious place where desperate people go to make deals with the sprites. And at the cave's entrance, there is a set of embracing skeletons, the lovers of Lover's Falls. Their story deserves to be told, even if we all know it can't end well. And if you've read The Light That Saves, the seafaring companion novella that just came out last month, you'll find the thread of hope in today's story holds an Easter egg connecting the two tales. And I'm still honoring my offer from a couple weeks ago. If you share the podcast with two friends, send me an email telling me who you shared it with, just generics like your aunt and coworker, then I'll send you that novella audiobook for free. And the friend you invited to listen can send me an email letting me know they're listening because of you, and they can get the same audiobook for free. Today's narrator is Peter Franson, host of Christian Geek Central. He's also my brother, for those of you who haven't caught that yet, and it's always so fun for me to hear him read something I wrote. If you'd told a teenage me that we'd be doing this together in 25 years, I would have laughed at you. But here we are. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more about the Kickstarter and Pater's podcast and online community. For now, please enjoy The Light That Burns by Corinne Norton.
Chapter 1. Today was the day. Anthem stretched his arms overhead until his shoulders and back popped, then pulled on his boots as the sun peeked through the tops of the trees. He used water from his travel pouch to wet his face and comb his fingers through his black hair, smoothing out the tangles from yesterday's wind.
"Making yourself look pretty for the sprites?"
Geralt smirked as he held out a hand to help Anthem up. "Says the Bondbreaker," Anthem muttered, taking his oldest friend's help.
"I never broke any bonds."
Geralt grinned, flashing his dimples while his blonde locks fell just so in his eyes, a feat Anthem felt certain was a waste of the other man's magic.
"I simply kept the girls from taking other bondmates on the off chance I chose them."
Anthem rolled his eyes, then shoved Geralt fairly close to the morning cook fire, where Richter, their former mentor and now colleague, sat heating biscuits. The older man shook his head, far too used to their antics.
"It's more like he wants to look good when he dies. Be a handsome ghost and all that."
Richter tossed Anthem a biscuit with a wink.
"I'll die old and decrepit, but I'll have lived far longer. Fair trade."
He shrugged, rubbing at the graying scruff at his jawline.
"You could always come with me."
Anthem passed the biscuit back and forth between his hands, letting it cool a bit in the crisp spring morning air.
"Ask for something you deem more noble, like a cure for the plague."
Geralt backed away, both hands raised defensively.
"Nothing's noble enough to cross those creatures. I think you've gone mad. But I wasn't about to miss out on seeing how much it gets you in trouble."
"It's not about nobility. It's about stupidity." Richter stoked the fire with a frown.
"Live out your life and wait for the sun to reveal your Starlock's meaning in its own time. That would be the smarter and safer thing to do."
Anthem wrapped his hand around the charm hanging from a leather cord at his neck. He traced the jagged edge of the bottom with his thumb. It seemed unfinished compared to the smooth, egg-like shape on the top half. When he'd first survived his awakening and earned it, he'd thought it had been broken in his fall from Mount Viscano. But Starlocks were gifts from the stars for their half-light descendants, at least the ones chosen by the sun to be progenies. They enhanced the magic in the half-light's star blood, and as far as Anthem knew, they were indestructible. But broken or not, he sensed his Starlock was missing something. His magic had always felt half as strong as that of other progenies, like Geralt and Richter, forcing him to study twice as hard. The mystery plagued him more than the cough spreading through the Vendaren people. The cough he and his colleagues had been tasked with curing. But his training as a somatic progeny and his gift of healing left him with far too little knowledge of the heart. A cough could be studied and cured, but the heaviness weighing on him each day over his Starlock's missing piece had begun interfering with his work and his ability to sleep. Going to the Sprites is a risk, Anthem agreed. But taking risks is what got me the Starlock in the first place. If the sun blessed me with a Starlock, if it felt I was worthy of the call as a progeny to serve it with my magic, somehow I don't think it would let the Sprites be my end. Those sound like the last words of a tragic hero in a fable, Geralt said, placing a dramatic hand over his heart. I should write them down. More like a tale woven by parents to warn children away from pride and foolishness. Richter rose stiffly to join them at the trail's edge. I just hope you live long enough for us to find out if your foolhardiness teaches you anything. They each gave Anthem a shove in the direction of the waterfall that faintly thrummed in the distance. The Sprite's cave rested about halfway up the waterfall's drop, but this was as far as his comrades had been willing to go with him. Anthem didn't mind. He was grateful his friends had even come this far. It was his burden to bear, and he didn't want anyone else to take the fallout that could come with a visit to the Sprites. Because despite his bravado, this was a bit foolish and desperate. Most considered a visit to the Sprites to be a death sentence, and maybe it was, but Anthem had felt led to ask them about his Starlock in the same way he'd felt led to follow that trail up Mount Viscano, where he'd eventually saved a lost child and earned his Starlock in his awakening. The tug was almost a physical thing, making him sick until he committed both to hiking Mount Viscano before and to climbing the trail along the waterfall to seek out the Sprites now. He placed one foot in front of the other with a determined confidence that usually eluded him. He had to settle the questions in his heart before focusing on the mystery of a disease that plagued the body. By now, the spray of the waterfall had soaked him through to the bone. Distant music met his ears over the water's roar, a sure sign that he was close. He glanced at the trail he'd already taken and compared it to the top of the waterfall. He slowed, searching more carefully until the tiniest of openings showed behind the waterfall. Resisting the urge to whoop and holler, he stepped in, wishing he knew what came next. The stories he'd heard had never been very specific, mostly because few had survived their encounter with the Sprites, and those who'd returned never spoke of how they'd escaped. The only way out seemed to be making a bargain, which was exactly what Anthem had come for. "Hello?" he called, his voice echoing off the wall. He let the heat of his Starlock flow through his arm and hand to form a small light in his palm, then made his way farther into the cave. At first it seemed abandoned, with nothing more than critters in various crevices, but then a slight hum reached his ears, one that probably should have filled him with fear. Instead, it sent a thrill through him. He pulled his Starlock out from underneath his tunic, eager to show it to the Sprites, a strange sensation since Starlocks were meant to be kept secret, their shape indicative of some importance in a progeny's life. His mother's had taken the form of an infant, something she'd been unable to have until the sun finally blessed her with Anthem in her old age. His father, who had been captain of a naval vessel for most of his adult life, had a Starlock in the shape of an anchor. The straightforward nature of their Starlocks had made the mystery of Anthem's even more mocking. He continued down the path until it ended in a large cavern where a soft amber light glowed in one corner. "Hello?" he called again. The flap of wings echoed all around him, even though only one creature made its way to the center. It was larger than he'd expected, almost half his size, with gnarled hands and feet curling up against its leathery skin, a strange mix of child and elderly. Bulbous eyes, slick with some sort of filmy slime, stared down at him from a hairless head, and he held back a shudder. "I come seeking your aid." He gave a slight bow in case that might be the humbler approach. The sprite studied him, then blinked, and the filmy slime disappeared.
"I can see that."
A voice dripping with disdain reverberated in Anthem's mind more than against the cavern wall.
"What is your request?"
Anthem licked his lips, unable to believe that he was finally here, that he was finally going to get his answer. "I come asking for the significance of my starlock." He stepped forward and lifted the object on its cord in case the sprite needed a closer look. The sprite held out one long finger, the talon hooking the cord to bring it even closer. It hummed.
"The cost for seeking out this answer will be high."
It let the starlock drop back against Anthem's chest, then blinked again, showing no more interest in the conversation. "I'm willing to pay the cost, whatever it is." The sprite hummed again, clasping its fingers beneath its chin, its focus centering more heavily on Anthem.
"I can tell you where to find the other half of your starlock, but if you go after it, you will return in 5 years' time and forfeit your life."
Anthem's heart pounded. "The other half? So it is broken?"
"Do you accept the cost?"
Anthem ran the sprite's words through his mind once more. The cost was high, but only if he went after the other half. The knowledge was free.
"I accept the cost."
He held his breath in anticipation. The sprite's wings fluttered faster, giving Anthem the sense that it was pleased with the deal.
"The other half of your starlock rests in Dalvas. You'll find it around the neck of a pig farmer on the westernmost plot of the city's perimeter. Once the two pieces are joined, you will understand your starlock's meaning."
Anthem frowned. "Why can't you tell me what it means now?" The sprite's shoulder lifted slightly.
"That's not the way the deal works."
"Did this pig farmer steal it from me? Why does he have it?" The sprite slowly backed away, its color and light fading as it blended into the shadows of the wall.
"Wait!" Anthem called. "You haven't told me anything!"
"If you seek out the other half, you will learn everything."
The sprite's voice faded.
"And then you will return in 5 years and forfeit your life."
Anthem rushed after it, but the room lit up with a dozen colors and a dozen sets of wings. Angry, bulbous eyes bore down on him from each of the sprites.
"You took the deal."
The sprite's voice grew low with warning.
"You cannot make another."
Anthem slowly backed away as he took in the sharp talons and sheer number of sprites surrounding him.
"And if I don't go after the other half?"
It lifted its shoulders again.
"Then I suppose you shall have a very long and very uninformed life."
Chapter 2 Anthem followed his colleagues out of the pub, glancing to the west where the sun's descent would bring it to sleep.
"Oh, the look on his face when he heard your name!"
Geralt's laugh echoed down the street as he thumped Richter's back.
"I don't see what's so funny."
Richter scowled and edged away from Geralt's exuberance.
"He had me mixed up with someone else."
"But he was ready to fight you over some woman he'd lost 40 years ago," Geralt snorted. "You should have fought him just for fun. He was as drunk as a sailor on Pirate Redwood's ship. Even you could have beat him."
"Thanks for the vote of confidence,"
Richter said dryly. Anthem smiled, but his gaze returned to the western edge of Dalvas. It was the first time he'd been in the town since visiting the Sprites. He could have come right away. The town was central to their assigned provinces, maybe a day or two's ride from all the towns where they studied the disease's progression. But his research had kept him busy enough, and the Sprite's deal had been frightening enough, that he'd avoided Dalvas for an entire year. But now they'd found a new lead, a victim who'd recovered when no one else had.
"You're still thinking about that deal, aren't you?" Richter asked.
Anthem gave a short laugh.
"I'm thinking about what a fool I'd be to take it."
"What if we go look for you?" Geralt asked. "Sounds like Richter has something to prove. He and I can beat the farmer to a pulp and bring back the other half of your Starlock."
Anthem grinned. "That just might put the price on your head instead of mine."
"Might be worth it if that good-for-nothing pig farmer stole your Starlock."
Geralt pounded his fist against his other hand.
"How could he steal it in the middle of my awakening?"
Anthem felt the jagged edge through his linen shirt where it rested against his skin.
"It's always been this way."
"But what if he has half your magic?"
Geralt asked, ignoring Anthem's reasoning.
"Imagine how quickly you could cure the plague with that."
"And what if he thinks Anthem stole the other half of his Starlock?"
Richter asked.
"How do we know who's really at fault?"
Geralt immediately concocted a far-fetched version of how Anthem stole another man's awakening on Mount Viscano, one that took their entire walk back to their inn to tell. But Anthem had asked himself the same question for the last year. How had the Starlock been split? And whom did it rightfully belong to? He would be a fool to go after the answer, and yet a part of him couldn't stay away. Which was why he found himself walking to the town's edge the next evening. They'd interviewed the plague survivor and received little new information. In fact, Anthem suspected the victim had never actually had the plague, so the three healers had plans to move on the next day. Only Anthem wasn't sure he could move on without a glimpse of the man Geralt had painted as Anthem's possible enemy. The Sprites had said if he went after the Starlock, he would forfeit his life. But what if he just went to see the face of the man who had the other half? The pig farm was easy enough to locate. It was right where the Sprites had described it on the far west edge of town, where the homes turned to farms and fields just before the farms and fields turned to pine forests. A cheery red barn gleamed in the sun's light, its proximity to a modest home with a matching red door making Anthem hesitate. It was easier to despise a man who'd possibly stolen half his magic if he didn't think about that man having a family. When he didn't see anyone around, he debated going up to the door and knocking, but he wasn't sure he was ready for that direct of a confrontation, not if it could trigger the Sprite's consequences. Instead, he crept around the side of the barn, following the snuffles of pigs.
"Can I help you?"
A woman's voice startled Anthem enough to make him jump. Then he laughed at himself.
"Sorry."
He turned to face her, another laugh bubbling up at the realization that he had no good reason to be here. But then his mouth went dry as he took in the woman's golden hair pinned back from her face, her cheeks pink from the sun's kiss. Her eyebrows rose when her question remained unanswered, and he got lost in the flux of gold amidst her green eyes.
He said, "I think I came looking for your father."
She frowned.
"You think?"
He laughed again and felt a fleeting sense of relief that he hadn't brought Geralt with him. He was making a fool of himself.
"I was told the pig farmer here might have something I'm looking for, but it's kind of a silly treasure hunt."
She looked him up and down, making him wonder if his trousers were untied or if he had stains on his tunic, but she didn't seem to find him wanting in any way. It was more like she found him to be in her way as she pushed past him and entered the pig pen.
"Well, I can guarantee there's no treasure here, and I can also tell you that you won't be able to see my father anytime soon. If you need help with something, you'll have to talk to me."
He grinned, not sure he minded this turn of events.
"Treasure is overrated anyway.
Pigs are the real prize." Her eyebrows rose, but she kept quiet as she lifted one of the many pails of slop and poured it into the trough. He grabbed a second bucket, following her lead.
"Treasure can't give you an endless supply of pork or leather."
He winced, not knowing much else about what pigs had to offer.
"And manure," she added, handing him a pitchfork. "There's also an endless supply of that."
He wrinkled his nose, but still spent the next hour helping her feed the pigs and even cleaning out their pen, feeling a sense of victory every time her pinched face softened into a smile. She eventually even gave him her name, Jolina. He'd never met a woman who drew him in the way Jolina did, like a pool of water reeling him in on a hot summer day. He sensed a serenity around her, like she could smooth out his hard edges and provide the peace he hadn't felt since he'd first questioned the shape of his starlock. His mind ran wild with visions of coming home to her every night after his long days of assessing plague cases and having conversations just like this, getting a taste of life each night when his days were spent documenting death. The quietness and simplicity of it filled him with a hope that felt far too powerful after a single evening in her presence.
"Can I come help you again tomorrow?"
he asked, realizing too late that he'd interrupted her explanation of her family's plans to add an additional barn. Her cheeks grew even more pink, and she glanced down at the pail in her hands.
"You could, but we could also do something else. Something that didn't involve manure."
He laughed, earning another one of her smiles.
"I like how much you laugh," she said,
and this time he suspected his face was pink.
"It's probably more of a nervous habit," he admitted, rubbing the back of his neck self-consciously.
"That's too bad," she said. "I hope you still laugh a lot once we know each other better."
She held his gaze with unnerving confidence. In that moment, he knew he was going to marry Jolina, and he knew that she knew it too.
Chapter 3. For the next moon, Anthem was careful to avoid Jolina's father, not sure how he could marry the woman without seeking out her father and his Starlock's other half. But the more time they spent together, the more he wondered if that consequence would be worth it. Richter and Geralt warned him he was making a mistake, until they met Jolina. Then Geralt switched to warning Jolina, insisting she could do better, and Richter grew strangely solemn. He testified that dying old and alone held no appeal, so he would respect Anthem's decision to pursue Jolina regardless of the cost. Who knew if the sprite's curse could be trusted anyway? Perhaps they just frightened people and drove them mad until they sought their own deaths. Besides, after meeting Jolina, Anthem had no reason to return to the sprites and forfeit his life. He had everything to live for. Their courtship lasted a short summer, and when he could put it off no longer, he requested to meet her father, to have the opportunity to ask him for her hand in marriage. They sat against the barn wall, hands entwined. It wasn't the proper place to ask a woman to marry him, but it was where they'd first met, where they'd first kissed, and where the setting sun lit up her eyes like shimmering gold in a field of grass. Only now, her face held uncertainty, sprouting his own doubts.
"I hope you'll forgive me,"
she whispered, her gaze dropping to their clasped hands resting on his knee. She tightened her grip, putting him slightly more at ease.
"I told you a bit of a lie on that first day. Well, it's more like I left out the truth."
His brow furrowed as he tried to recall that initial conversation. He'd been nervous enough that his memory might be failing him now, but he didn't remember anything that sounded like it could have been a lie.
"My father died 2 years ago," she said. "I wasn't about to tell that to a strange man who showed up on my property uninvited. And then, as time wore on, I sort of forgot that you didn't know."
Anthem glanced back at the farmhouse he'd so carefully avoided, and now wondered if she'd thought that was his respectful way of guarding her reputation instead of his own fears.
"And your mother?" he asked.
She shook her head.
"She died when I was very young. I've been on my own since my father died."
It was a sad truth she shared, and he really did hate the pain she must have experienced, but a lightness took over him. If her father wasn't there for him to meet, he was under no risk of completing the sprite's prophetic words. "And your father? What happened to his Starlock?" She frowned. "Starlocks are taken up by the stars, but he didn't have one anyway." Her eyebrows angled up. "Is this the treasure hunt you were on when you first came here?" He nodded, but confusion canceled out his relief. If her father had no Starlock, why had the sprites sent him here? "I had the fleeting thought you were one of Redwood's pirates," she went on, oblivious to his growing apprehension. "I don't even think I would have minded. I hear they're not all bad, even have manners after sailing with a woman." He pulled his Starlock out from under his tunic but kept his fist around it, hesitating. It was an intimate thing to share a Starlock's shape with someone. He had no reservations about showing it to Jolina, the woman he planned to marry, but her story didn't match the sprites, and it left him feeling vulnerable, like the sprites had somehow tricked him. "Anthem?" Her voice finally held concern. "I was told the other half of my Starlock would be with the pig farmer here. When I came, I was hoping to find out why. But then I found you, and that was far better than any answers." He laughed lightly, then took her hand and let his broken Starlock fall into her palm. "It's fine. The mystery of my Starlock can remain a mystery as long as I can spend the rest of my life with you." He leaned forward, placing his hand along her jaw, stroking her cheek with his thumb. He waited for her to look up, wanting to see the familiar love reflected back in her eyes before leaning in for a kiss. But her gaze remained fastened on his Starlock, and her free hand trembled as she reached for the cord around her neck. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I've just..." She broke off, then pulled her own Starlock out, fitting the jagged edges of his to the jagged edges of hers. It created a smooth, unified shape, the shape of a heart. His breath caught in his throat as he stared down at the impossible. "You're the pig farmer?" he whispered. A short laugh escaped her lips. "Well, yes, I am a pig farmer." His mind raced as he tried to think back on the sprite's words. Had he just assumed it was a man? Jolina let out a slight gasp and dropped the Starlocks, letting them swing back against each of their chests. The heat of Anthem's burned his skin even through his tunic. "I'm guessing their power together is strong," she said before giving him a weak smile. "I'd always wondered why it was shaped this way. I wish my father could have seen them together." Her eyes brimmed with tears, and Anthem wrapped his arms around her, pulling her against himself almost too tight to be comforting, but he needed it as much as her. Did this change anything? He didn't want it to, but he was afraid it did. The sprites had said that if he went after the person who had the other half, he would come back 5 years later and forfeit his life. Was marrying her a form of going after her? Or had simply finding her already triggered the curse? Or had the sprites been speaking only of revenge? He wanted to laugh at the absurdity of it all. He had no reason to seek out the sprites and forfeit his life. He was free to make his own decisions, and if he stayed away, their prophecy couldn't be fulfilled. With that confident determination setting his course, he pressed his lips to her temple. "I should have come a year ago," he muttered. "What?" she asked against his shirt. "I should have come a year ago, when I first learned the other half was here." She pulled back, and her eyes still held tears, but he hardly saw them past the smile lifting her sun-kissed cheeks. "You know, I knew I would bond with you the moment you fed my pigs." He grinned. "That fast? And here I thought you'd charmed me first." She raised her eyebrows. "Don't tell me you didn't know then, too." He leaned in for a kiss and whispered against her lips, "Why else would I offer to feed your filthy pigs?" Chapter 4. 4 years of bliss passed faster than Anthem could have anticipated. Richter and Gerald agreed to have Dalvas become their new home base, where they opened a clinic for standard healing and gathered all their research on the plague. Their research often took them to the villages nearby, but they let Anthem run the clinic, allowing him to come home to his wife at their pig farm every single night. Jolina's work grew more prosperous, requiring additional barns and hired workers, who were even more necessary when they were blessed with a little boy who took up much of Jolina's time. As Martine grew, Anthem forgot all about his deal with the sprites and lost any lingering fear for the future, at least when it came to his fear for his own future, as told by the sprites. His fear for the nation of Vendaris was a different story. The plague that had been their assignment was now the primary task of all healers, and what had once been a brewing cesspool had surfaced to a terrifying and constant threat. The pockets of cases popping up throughout the nation came in a wave from north to south and east to west. Instead of 1 in 100 contracting its deadly cough, 1 in 4 brought it home, infecting their own families in a dangerous game of chance. Soon after Martine's 3rd birthday, the plague's wave stretched its fingers out to Dalvas. For a while, Anthem and Jolina felt safe on the edge of town, but their pigs still needed to be sold and their workers still needed to come tend the herd. It wasn't long before Jolina had dark circles under her eyes and a slowness to her step that made Anthem suspect the worst. When her cough turned to a deep bark, he headed into town to see Gerald and Richter, hoping their research, which he'd had less and less involvement in, might have new treatments or magical adjustments to test. Only Richter and Gerald had nothing to offer but empathetic hugs and tears, their own gazes hollow, not from symptoms of the plague, but from sick hearts over all the people they'd been unable to save. They'd been Anthem's last hope, and with that hope dashed, Anthem returned home, his heart heavy. He didn't expect Jolina to greet him at the door, so when he first saw her silhouette in the frame, something in his heart soared. Perhaps she was improving. Maybe the man who'd claimed he'd recovered all those years ago had been honest, and maybe Jolina would have the same recovery. But when he drew closer and saw the fear on her face, it made his heart drop to his stomach that much longer. "What's wrong?" He let his bag fall and reached for her jaw, taking in the swollen nodes at her neck and the feverish pink of her cheeks.
"Martine has a cough," she whispered, wrapping her arms tight around herself with a shiver.
His gaze strayed over her shoulder toward the stairs that led to the bedrooms. As if to prove her words, a distant hack sounded. Anthem closed his eyes in defeat.
"Did Richter or Gerald have news?"
Jolina asked, faint hope lining her words. Her hand tugged on his, the heat of it bringing his eyes open. She pulled him inside and helped remove his coat. "No," he said shortly, not bothering to sugarcoat the painful truth. She swayed a bit on her feet as she hung his coat on the hook, and he gathered her in his arms, fighting the urge to crush her against him, knowing the pain she must be feeling even as she made these small motions to serve him. "I could go to the Council of Healers myself," he said. "Maybe others in the nation have found something we haven't. There must be something we've missed." His voice broke as the tears finally fell. "There must be something I've missed. Maybe if I'd kept traveling with Gerald and Richter, I would have found the cure. Maybe all of this could have been avoided." She shushed him, but he ignored her attempts to absolve him of guilt. Instead, he lifted her in his arms to carry her slight frame up the stairs and into their bedroom. Martine already lay in their bed, his face pale against the dark sheets. Anthem laid Jolina beside their son, pressing a kiss to her brow. Then he went around the other side to hold his son's tiny hand. It was as hot as Jolina's had been, and his cough held the same bark as hers. Alarm hit Anthem, and his Starlock heated in defense as if he were in battle. The plague was working its way through their child far faster, likely because he was so small or maybe because Jolina had been a better fighter. She knew what she had to lose. Anthem crawled between them, fully clothed, ignoring Jolina's mild protests from fear of him contracting the plague. He wrapped both their hands in his and pushed out all the energy he had left to give, praying for the sun to spare them and begging his Starlock to find the source of their pain and be rid of it. The most he could do was ease their suffering and give them a bit more strength for the following day, something he suspected might be more selfish than compassionate. When his Starlock grew cold, he debated giving them more, wondering if he could give all of himself.
"We need a miracle at this point," Jolina said. "I'd almost be willing to bargain with the sprites."
His chest tightened. He'd never told Jolina about the sprites. At first it was because he never wanted to burden her with such groundless fears, and then he simply forgot. But now he understood why others had warned him against such a reckless idea. He felt the same flash of caution for Jolina, only it didn't last. Not when they had nothing left. Surprisingly, he couldn't bring himself to despise the sprites for what they'd done. Because even if they'd doomed him to an early demise, they'd given him Jolina, and they'd given him Martine. Life with them, even if brief, was better than anything else this world might have offered. He would give anything to have them a little longer, to give them just a little more time. He would forfeit his life. A final tendril of hope wove its way through him.
"There's something I need to tell you," he said.
She blinked at him as if her mind was sluggish to process his words.
"All right. Remember when I showed up at your farm looking for your father?"
A sweet smile that made his heart ache crossed her face. He would only see it a few more times in this life. This had always been their destiny, and he'd taken every one of her smiles for granted.
"I told you I was on a treasure hunt of sorts, looking for the other half of my Starlock. What I didn't tell you was how I knew the Starlock would be here."
Her brow furrowed, and she tugged her Starlock out from under her dress. She pulled his half out from under his tunic and held them side by side. They often pressed them together, remembering the moment they'd first discovered their lives had been entwined before they'd even known the other existed. But the puzzle had also been one of Martine's favorite toys. He loved the way the two fit together and how there was almost a magnetic click when they joined so snugly.
"So tell me now,"
she whispered.
"I went to the sprites to ask about the shape of my Starlock."
Her hands froze, the Starlocks a fraction of space apart, the distance almost painful.
"And they told you where to find me?"
He chuckled.
"I didn't expect you, but yes, they told me to come here." "And what was the price?"
she asked. His smile fell as she cut to the heart of the matter.
"They told me I would return in 5 years' time and forfeit my life." "Oh, Anthem," she murmured. "Maybe I was foolish, but it brought me to you. I can't ever regret that. It brought us Martine. I wouldn't want it any other way." "Neither would I," she whispered.
He bent his head down until his forehead pressed against hers. She didn't feel as hot as she first had, and he wondered if it was possible her fever was improving, then berated himself for still hoping.
"Which is why you're right," he said. "We need to go back."
She stiffened.
"What will the cost be this time?"
He shook his head.
"Don't you see? They already told me the cost. They said I would come back in 5 years' time and forfeit my life. If I give up my life, maybe they'll save both of you."
Tears filled her eyes.
"But you're not even sick. Forfeit my life for his. Let him grow up with his father."
He held her tight, knowing her fear for Martine stemmed from her own loss of her father. But she had also grown up without a mother, and he wouldn't do that to Martine. Not if he could save them both.
"We'll all go to the sprites," he offered.
"When they make a deal, they determine the price.
We'll see what they say."
The compromise seemed to appease her, but he knew in his heart what the cost would be. They'd already told him. Chapter 5. Traveling to the waterfalls was more difficult than Anthem had expected. He procured 2 horses, assuming Martine could ride with each of them in turn, but Jolina struggled to stay on the saddle, and they opted not to risk putting Martine with her. By the 3rd day, he'd had to rent a cart instead, placing both of them in its bed as gently as he could while the 2 horses pulled them. It was then that he noticed the itch in his throat that made him cough. An eerie familiarity rang out in its rasp, the beginnings of the bark of the plague. The truth hit him slowly, painfully. Jolina's fever had felt less, not because she was getting better, but because he was growing worse. But even as the realization fully formed, he knew it didn't matter. He could die with the plague, or he could die without it, as long as Jolina and Martine were spared. The cart made it to the base of the falls on the 5th day. Anthem feared he wouldn't be able to carry Martine up to the Sprite's cave, and he was forced to splash cold creek water on Jolina's face to rouse her enough to climb on her own. He prayed to the sun that they would make it. They were too close to fail now. The trill of a song met his ears as they climbed, spurring him on to reach the Sprite's. He wondered if he would see the same one with its amber skin and bulbous eyes. If this was still part of the same deal, wouldn't he have to find that one? The cave's entrance was nearly covered by the liana vines that had grown wild since his last visit. He swept them aside, encouraging Jolina to walk through as he carried Martine, shielding his son's feverish skin from the liana's thorns. "Both of you rest here." He tucked them against the cave wall, letting the vines hide them. "I'll go find the sprites." It looked like Jolina wanted to protest, but her eyes slid shut. He hesitated, watching to make sure both of them were breathing, his own spasming coughs echoing down the cavern tunnel. Then he pressed a kiss to each of their foreheads, his tears dripping on their cheeks. "May the sun's light always guide you," he whispered. 4 years with Jolina hadn't been enough time. 3 years with Martine had been more of a tease of what they could have had. Even if he'd had the full 5 years with both, it wouldn't have satisfied him. But knowing he could give them dozens more made the pain of his own loss bearable. It was the only reason he was able to walk away from them and toward the sprites. The buzz of flapping wings met his ears before he could see them. Fear flashed through him as he remembered his last encounter, how stupidly brave he'd been to approach them. He'd been desperate, but also arrogant, the last time he'd come. Now it was a humble desperation. Did they distinguish between the motivations that brought men and women? Did they show mercy if one came for the right reasons?
5 years later, and you have returned."
The voice that spoke to Anthem's mind was familiar, as if he'd heard it just the day before. Despite the shiver that ran through him, he was grateful.
"I have returned," he agreed. "I've come to make a deal with you."
The sprite fluttered closer, leaning over him as if assessing his worth, or maybe just his health.
"We already made a deal."
"I've come to finish it," he said. "My wife and child are sick, dying from the plague. I give you my life for theirs. Please spare them."
"So you forfeit your life?"
"Yes," he said. "Just like you told me I would."
The sprite cocked its head, the film returning as it blinked.
"Unfortunately, that price has already been paid and cannot be extracted again."
Anthem froze, the words not being accepted by his mind.
"I'm offering you my life now," he said, "in exchange for my wife and son. Why won't you take that deal?"
"You are already dying. The sickness overtakes your body, and you will not leave this cave alive. But that will not earn safety for your wife or son. You made your choice 5 years ago, and only now do you pay the debt."
Anthem wanted to scream. He wanted to rail at the sprite, to throw punches and slap the ridiculous wings off its back, but his energy was spent. He knew the sprite was right. The little time he'd had left was wasted on bringing his family here. It was all for nothing. He turned back, slowly making his way through the cavern's hall,
desperate to hold his family one last time, but dreading it as well. How could he tell them it was over? When he found Jolina and Martine curled up near the cave's entrance, he lay down beside them, careful not to disturb their rest. He stroked Jolina's hair, letting the ends twist and curl around his finger, remembering all the times her smile had left him breathless. He studied the way Martine's lashes rested on his cheeks, the plumpness of his baby years still evident despite his sickness. He had so much life left to live, and it was all being taken away because of Anthem's poor choice. And yet, if Anthem hadn't made that choice, Martine wouldn't have even had these 3 years. He and Jolina wouldn't have built a life together. He wouldn't have seen a single one of her smiles.
"I still have no regrets," he whispered.
Then he wrapped his arms around them and drifted off to sleep. Chapter 6 Anthem woke to the sun's light streaming between the liana vines. It took a bit for him to remember where he was and why he lay on the hard dirt floor. A woman's voice drifted from the other side of the vines, and Anthem snapped to attention.
"Martine," he hissed, "go hide in the corner."
The little boy obeyed immediately, even though his actions were sluggish. It probably didn't matter if the woman was dangerous. Martine's life was already forfeit, but the need to protect him ran too deep to ignore. When the woman stepped through the vines, she paused, the sun silhouetting her so that it was impossible to make out her features. But the glow around her was so brilliant that Anthem's breath left him.
"Are you a star, come to guide us to the sun?"
Her laugh was bitter, but her words came out gentle.
"No, I'm a mere woman.
A filthy pirate at that, come to check on my treasure." She kneeled down until Anthem could make out individual features as he squinted. Her beauty was unmatched, like that of the ancient royalty carved in stone. Her eyes held a hardness that made her less attractive than Jolina, whose gold-flecked green eyes had always sparkled with a mirth that made Anthem feel young.
"Can you help us?"
he asked, knowing his request was futile. The woman placed a hand on his head like he was a little boy asking for a sweet, and her eyes glazed over. She was assessing him in some way, but he didn't have the energy to care what she saw.
"I'm sorry. Your sickness is too far gone."
The skitter of rocks in the corner drew her attention, and she pulled back, a small smile on her face.
"I suspect there's a mouse in this cave."
She said the words extra loud, like it was a game meant to draw Martine out. For a moment, Anthem feared her finding their son. Would a pirate's game be worse than what the plague had in store?
"I might even have a bit of cheese for a mouse that came out from the corner."
She pulled a pack off her back and lifted the latch, pulling out a hunk of bread and cheddar. Anthem's appetite was long gone, but a tiny tummy's growl sounded from the cavern's corner, revealing Martine's had not. The pirate sucked in a breath as he inched forward, snatching the food.
"He really is just a little mouse."
Her whispered words held pain, and Anthem's eyes closed as he felt it with her.
"Please,"
he whispered. It was unfair for him to beg, but he did it anyway. The woman's sigh drew open his eyes, and indecision rested on her face, which oddly gave him hope.
"I cannot save all of you," she said, the apology evident in her voice. "But I can save one of you, if you wish it."
Hope was quickly squelched by awareness brought on by experience.
"What is your price?"
Her brow furrowed, and she shook her head.
"The price is paid by me. It will cost me much to heal him, but I'll do it." "Who are you?"
he asked.
"I'm the fearsome pirate Redwood," she said with mocking flair. "Despite my reputation, it's my mission to bring men on my boat, men who have no future or hope, and to give them a second chance, to show them how they can prove all of Rhistan wrong about who they are. Because deep down, they have the potential to be men of love,
men of peace, and men of hope.
She ruffled the hair on Martine's head as he munched on the bread and cheese, then paused, her gaze resting beyond Anthem and Martine, beyond the cave, and her voice filled with a new sense of wonder. Martine scooted out from her reach, settling closer to the cave wall with his prize.
"I will do the same for this little mouse," Pirate Redwood said. "If he boards my boat and joins my men, he will someday be the father of kings. Despite his few years, he will remember the love of his parents. He will even experience that love for himself."
Tears pricked Anthem's eyes.
"How can you be sure?"
A promise for the future could only come from a pneumatic progeny, one who was gifted with sifting the future of a soul. He wanted to believe her, but he also wanted her to be a somatic progeny like himself, only one with far greater power and the ability to heal even this deadly disease. He wanted it all to be possible, but even in his depleted state, he recognized the inconsistency and worried she was only telling him what he wanted to hear. She touched his arm once more, and visions flashed through his mind. Martine, several years older, sailing on a ship with rough-looking men, his smile so full of joy that it made Anthem wince. It was Jolina's smile. Again, closer to Anthem's age, his arm around a woman, stars in their eyes as they danced beneath the moon. Then he saw his boy, far older than Anthem would ever be, surrounded by family and children, a baby being bonded for the eventual crown.
"It is but one possibility," Pirate Redwood said softly, "but I see it in almost all of his paths."
"Yes, please," Anthem whispered, then reached out for her arm.
"Take as much as you need from us. We're dying anyway. The cost doesn't need to be so high for you."
Pirate Redwood paused, her eyes conflicted.
"If all men and women had once been so noble," she murmured.
Jolina roused at that moment, oblivious to the deal he was making, but he knew it was what she would want, to save their son.
"So it will be," Pirate Redwood said. "Come here, little mouse."
Martine approached slowly, taking more bites of cheese that she offered. Then she placed her hand on his head and closed her eyes. As Anthem watched, color returned to Martine's cheeks, and the dark circles under his eyes smoothed over to his pale brown. The boy gave one last final hack that seemed to clear his lungs completely before settling into the easy breathing that Anthem longed for.
"If each of you gives him what energy you have left, it will be finished."
Her face filled with compassion.
"And it will make things quicker and easier for you as well. When you see the sun's light, don't fight it. It will feel like you're burning, but it will refine you into gold."
"Are they dying?"
Martine asked. Anthem wanted to hold his boy. He wanted to lie to him and tell him they were just resting and that tomorrow they would all go home. But Pirate Redwood nodded and kneeled beside him, squeezing his hands.
"They are, and their bones will remain here forever, as a testament to the power of love. Not just the love they had for each other, but the love they have for you."
"I don't want them to die."
Martine's lower lip trembled, his health bringing greater awareness and understanding that Anthem wished he could be spared.
"You'll see them again,"
Pirate Redwood promised.
"But for now, you'll come with me and have adventures on the sea. You'll learn how to be a man who defends the weak and serves the poor. You'll prepare the next generation to be better than the last."
Martine's uncertain gaze rested on his father, and Anthem did his best to smile and nod, reaching out a hand to cup his son's cheek.
"Do as she says."
As he said the words, he pushed every ounce of energy left in his body and his starlock through his hand and into the boy. Martine smiled, a new strength behind his eyes.
"I love you," Anthem said.
Beside him, Jolina reached out her hand and did the same, whispering her own words for the sun they'd only just begun raising. They drew Martine in for one final hug,
then watched as he took Pirate Redwood's hand and waved farewell. Confusion and tears rested on his face, but Anthem trusted that the pirate would keep telling Martine all that had passed until he understood, until he became the man she'd shown Anthem he could be. When they walked through the liana vines and out of view, Anthem wrapped his arms around Jolina one final time.
"I still have no regrets," he whispered, even as his vision grew fuzzy.
"Neither do I."
Her lips brushed his as she whispered.
The dim cavern was replaced with a brightness that took away all other thoughts. And though it burned like the fearsome pirate Redwood had promised, Anthem welcomed it, sensing himself finally coming alive.
I hope you enjoyed listening to The Light That Burns by Corinne Norton, narrated by Peter Franzen of Christian Geek Central. If you enjoyed today's story, despite it being a tragedy, I think you'll enjoy the rest of my books, which are currently available on the Kickstarter. I'll have a link in the show notes so you can get the ebook, paperback, hardcover, audiobook, or special edition before everyone else. You can also still order the special edition and other formats of the first book if you haven't had a chance to grab them yet. If you enjoyed listening to Peter narrate the story, you might also enjoy listening to his podcast, Christian Geek Central, where he discusses movies, video games, and all things enjoyed by self-proclaimed geeks from a Christian worldview. As always, thank you all for listening, and happy reading.